Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. Today we are meeting an FPL manager with an interesting story to tell or is offering a unique perspective on the game. My name is Joe and this time I'm back in the cupboard to be joined by my jailer, Tom Glover. That was a very Alan Partridge type intro for you there. Sir, how are you? And explain what the hell I'm talking about cupboards.
I'm very good, but you don't look like you're in a cupboard, Joe, unless you've been redecorating the cupboard. You've got a bookcase in there and a guitar.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Ready to do some ironing.
And I'm not your jailer. You're free to leave any time as long as you create content.
I know. I'm free as long as I make the content. Well,
yes, exactly.
Here I am. Here is one of those Meet the Manager videos that I promised you. And everyone else. What we're going to do is we're going to follow a usual format. The only difference with today is that it's live. We're usually recording these. And also, we timed it excellently for when Liverpool beat Manchester United in about a quarter of an hour. So if you're watching this live, watch a quarter of an hour of us, hop over, watch Liverpool win, and then at half time, hop back and just watch the other half. All will be well.
A lot of my comedy fans are out protesting because you put this on at the same time as the games. A lot of them are protesting at the game to try and get it cancelled. More people watch this, so we'll see how that develops.
There is actually a bunch. How do comedians protest? Was that similar?
Not the comedians, then my followers.
Oh,
my
right.
Followers on my comedy Twitter page, which actually has less followers than my FPL Twitter page now. Oh. We'll be out in force trying to get that game cancelled just so we can get more than seven live listeners.
I was hoping there was some kind of comedians union. Before we go on talking about your team, your career, just a bit about you. Why is it that you're well known at the moment? It's your videos, isn't it? So how did they all come about? And I'll put in the notes about what your inspiration is for those. But explain a bit about these videos that you're doing and where people can see them and what your inspiration is.
Well, last season, me and a comedian friend of mine, FPL Cantona on Twitter, aka Fitz, we started a podcast together. We're both comedians, but we both have a secret passion for fantasy football. So we launched a podcast, which nobody listens to, but we have a bit of fun with it. And then in the off season, I got a little bit bored and I just thought I'd use some of my comedy skills to produce some FPL related comedy videos, which did seem to hit a chord with the FPL Twitter community, at least. And you starred in one of them, of course,
yes.
Joe.
Yes, one about looking at how do content creators create so much content. What other kind of themes have you picked up on the FPL community that are ripe for a video?
it's literally just living the life of an FPL manager, which we all do, and then just recording down the incidents that we incur. So it's being stroppy with your kids, stroppy with your partner. It's taking it far too seriously, making spreadsheets. It's going to fantasy football fest to meet up with other managers and discuss your spreadsheets. Everything that you encounter as an FPL manager that only we relate to, because I have shared some of the videos with normal people.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to understand it.
They don't get it.
At best, quite a few managers came up to me and said how they'd shared the videos with their friends and they just stared at them blankly.
Yeah.
Because it means something to us, but not to anyone else.
I think when we share with our like partners in particular, the one, there's a particular video of yours where the parents is getting the scores through on their phone. And that is the one that rings a bell, and the one like pretending it's work on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, my partner very much recognises a reality in my videos, that's for sure.
Thanks so much for those that have joined us in the live chat, by the way. FPL SWAT says, evening. Tom's videos are incredible and resonate far too much already there. The one with Joe was on another level. So do have a look at that. We've got your Twitter handle up on the screen, FPL Face Off. And so do have a look. If you're listening to the podcast version, do have a look at FPL Face Off on Twitter. And lots of videos there. Was it Paul Phantom says, my wife divorced me. Is that because one of your videos was worth a top 40k finish last season? What the?
I felt fairly on board with that, to be honest. Yeah. I'm getting married next week, but if there's an FPL deadline to meet, I may not be at the altar on time. We may have to call it off. I've already seen that during our honeymoon, we're going to be traveling during two deadlines, which is already causing a friction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got to be addressed.
I saw that Let's Talk FPL Andy got married this weekend and was allowed to stream, I believe, on his wedding day.
Oh really?
And I think it was actually his wife's idea as well. So there we go.
Fair enough. he's the goat, isn't he? Isn't it? He's earned some money from it. So I think my partner would let me do it if I get paid to do it.
Could you be the new goat of FPL marriage? You mentioned obviously you're a comedian and you run you do the FPL Face Off podcast with another comedian as well. Tell us about that, and also tell us a bit about your career in comedy so far.
Yeah, so it's me and Daniel Fitzhenry. We are both comedians based in the West Country, and actually until last season I'd never played FPL. I've always been a Sky manager. Mm-hmm. And he'd always been trying to get me to play FPL, and me vice versa. So we thought we'd start the podcast, FPL Face Off. He played Sky, I played FPL. And I fell in love with FPL as a game. I love the community. Because the thing with Sky is it's much smaller games. There's less people to interact with about it. And I suppose I had a good season in FPL last year, much more than I did in Sky. So that always helps. I've been a comedian for 10 years. Hasn't been so good over the last couple of years as we've been locked indoors. Mm-hmm. But it's getting back to normal slightly.
A bit of a killer to the getting up on stage in front of a crowded room. That particular pandemic.
Not ideal. And I used to be a postman, so I quit being a postman to do stand up. Mm-hmm. And 6 months later, we was all locked inside, and I was only allowed out on a Thursday to applaud my postman friends, who were then heroes. So that was tough to take, but we're pushing through now.
Do you think one day, the postmen will be outside their houses cheering the comedians that have given so much over Zoom over the last
year? Or at least one of them could come to my gigs, since I worked with them for 6 years. But hey, never say never.
You never. They're busy.
You're dressed as a postman in tribute to me tonight as well.
I am actually. I wasn't actually going to be doing a live stream tonight, so I accidentally wore my postman gear. In fact, I better get that delivery on a bit later as well. So where can people see you? You have some regular gigs as well, don't you, in the Southwest?
Yeah, so if you live in the Southwest, I host a lot of regular comedy clubs, like once a month. One at Falmouth Uni, Timber Pavilions, Lyme Regis Marine Theatre, Weymouth Pavilion, Plymouth, Honky Tonk Wine Library in Plymouth. So there's a handful of local regular gigs if you're in the Southwest area. I don't really talk about FPL. FPL is my dirty little secret, but it's mainly just discussions about my life and family life, and banter with the crowd, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, they've crossed over here. Your normal life and your dirty secret life.
I don't know if that's the right terminology, but that's what we're going to call it.
There we go. Let's call it that. You do your podcast. One of the things you do with your podcast and FPL Face Off is because Fitz, your co-host, has been playing FPL a while. He really likes it. He's really into it. You swan in with one season, and then I'll put your career history up now. And here we can see here, you've had one season so far, and it was top 6,000, which is better than I've done in the last 4 years. And so that must, he must have really enjoyed that.
He absolutely loved it, mate. Especially because at game week six, I was ranked 344th in the world, which at that point, I wasn't really aware of top 10K as being a target or how difficult it was to achieve that. This season, I'm starting to notice how difficult that can be.
Yeah.
But my rank isn't on the screen, is it, as we
yeah.
call? Okay, that's a shame.
Yeah.
currently on a 1.2 million green arrow, though, so let's mm-hmm. let's... add that in later on if we can.
There we go. Like the 50 stone man cheering his 5 stone weight loss.
That's pretty good. 10%.
Yeah, 10%. So yeah, you started in game week one this season, just outside the top 5 million, then down to 6 million. And as we'll talk yep. about in a sec, you wildcarded. So this week, things are looking up. So onwards and upwards. Just going back to last season, what was the reason, do you think? I mean, because I find this particularly interesting, first season, just swanning in and just getting that rank with that. So what was it about that season? I mean, you were a Spurs fan. Did you just get Kane, Son and captain them all the time? Or, you know, how did it come about?
Well, I started the season with Son because as a Spurs fan, I could see that Kane wasn't going to play for a little while at least, and Son always does well against City. So I had him in from the start, which helped. And I think I probably went fairly template, but again, at the time, I wasn't really aware of the template concept, if any. I was just basing it on fixtures and players that I knew performed well in other fantasy games. So I had a good start, and then I just sort of consolidated that as I went along. I went without Salah at the end of the season and did bring in Kane, Son, Kulusevski, which helped, and that's probably informed by my Spurs bias a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what secrets there were. I think maybe I took a lot of hits when games were getting postponed. I think a lot of regular managers were reluctant to take hits because that's not how you play the game generally. I didn't have those sort of preconceived ideas. So I was just taking minus eights, minus 12s if I felt the team needed it. And yeah, it paid off well in the end.
I mean, one of the themes of this season so far is that it's really easy to get like a team from the top five, a squad together, the top five teams. So you fill it with Chelsea and Spurs and Manchester City, etc. But that means that a number of sort of managers have been doing it a long time, have been amazed by that and have ignored some of these sort of the Zahas and the Pascal Grosses of this world. But so last season, did you find that you were getting a lot of players in that perhaps the more seasoned managers like Fitz or myself would just not get in?
I don't think so. I mean, I had Salah when he was doing well at the start. I went for the players everyone went with, but I think because I had such a good start, like when you start off well, like a lot of managers have noticed this season, not me, a lot of managers have noticed this season, you're not having to chase it all the time. So you get to a game week and you're like, oh, I don't need to make a transfer, I can roll it. And then you're even burning transfers because you've got the players that are performing well. And then it's just a case of like making the right transfer, not messing up that team as you go along. So I think we'll see that this season, is that people are going to have to start differentiating from the template now.
Yeah.
And people will be making transfers for the sake of it because they've got one to make. And people are going to have different teams. And it's just about whether or not you make those right transfers. Like Jesus, for example, are people going to stick with him if he blanks a couple of games? Haaland, are people going to take him out now if he's going to be rotated?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting to see how it develops from here. But I think the template will shift a little bit.
So what was the issue with your game week one and game week two side? Who were the bad lads in that side?
All of them. So I ignored all those template players, but also those ones who no one had who did well. So yeah, I went with Salah, but I had Kane over Haaland. So I missed Haaland's two goals, and then I transferred Haaland out. I transferred Kane out for Haaland. I missed Kane scoring against Chelsea. I went with Vardy over Jesus because Vardy, I thought, could take on Jesus in those first three games. Vardy always starts the season well. He had Southampton at home, and then he would have had, who did Leicester have at home this week? Brentford, I think.
Southampton.
Southampton this week. Hmm. Anyway, I can't remember what fixtures were, so I've blanked them from my mind now. Yeah. Vardy to me. But yeah, I went with Vardy, and obviously in game week two, Jesus gets 19 points and Vardy's on two.
That week.
So I missed Haaland in game week one and I missed Jesus in game week two. And I managed to somehow get a red arrow from 5 million down to 6.2 million. You'd think at 5 million, you wouldn't be able to get a red arrow as a an engaged manager, but I managed to do it somehow.
Rightio. So, and you'd seen enough. So you wildcarded. So I'll tell you what we'd do is, because the Liverpool game's about to start, so hopefully people will be... staking with us instead of that rubbish. And but if not, I suspect what they'll do is come back to this. So do remember to subscribe, keep in touch with all our latest videos, and do press that like button.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As well,
I was watching.
So. Yeah, for all of those watching and listening. So let's put your bus team up, because this would highlight the new players you've got in. So what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to, for the benefit of our podcast listeners, I'm just going to read out the squad. Then you can just go through it, you know, however you want to do it, position by position or whatever. So you've got Raya in goal with the much maligned, fairly maligned Ward on the bench. Alexander Arnold, Zinchenko, Reece James, and Perisic in a back four. In a 4-3-3, you've got Martinelli, Salah, Mount, and Salah's your captain against Bournemouth next week.
You don't say Mount like that, Joe.
Yeah,
because he's a consistent.
I've had 3 weeks FPL of that lad. So he's not. I say his name with disgust. But you've got Tony and Kane and Jesus up front, and on your bench you've got Trippier, De Silva, and Andreas Pereira. So it's a sort of 4-3-3, 5-2-3-5, whatever you... I mean, it's quite flexible. And what I think is... I think the headline for this is you've gone for three strikers, and I think anyone wildcarding now will be looking to get those three... to get three strikers. Is that... was that something you highlighted, the need to get some strikers in?
Yeah, well... I was obviously in a bad position after game week two, and my bus team for game week three made me want to walk in front of the bus. So I thought, well, I've got to differentiate from the template in some way. And yeah, it's clear this season that there are striker options. Mm. Darwin Nunez was an option when I did wild card, and then obviously he got sent off. But yeah, I've gone with a three up top. I've gone Kane over Haaland because I like Spurs fixtures, and I just think Kane is much less likely to be rotated than Haaland will. And we're obviously starting to see signs that he might get rotated now. I think that's just a way for me to differentiate, is to go for 4-3-3. Or as you say, the bench, we're lucky this year that there's the Silva and Andreas Pereira options on the bench, which means that, and the 4 million defenders as well, which means that we're all going to have good benches. So you don't need to worry too much about the rotation. But yeah, I just think Kane's more consistent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think look the comments this week. So, I mean, just to timestamp this, this is the 2022-23 season, and we're going heading into game week four after a pretty bad game week three for many. And this video is designed, people can watch it whenever. But this is sort of a snapshot of your thinking. So I think a lot of people have gone sort of big at the back with a five-man defence, and you have a five-man defence in a way, but they've sort of done that at the cost of other positions. And so I think what I particularly like with this is the three-man up front, because there is value with Tony. And then are you looking to move him to Mitrovic when Fulham's fixtures improve?
Yeah, absolutely. Brentford have got a good run of fixtures now, which is why I've got Raya in goal as well. And yeah, Tony obviously scored this week for me. Yeah. So I'm actually on a good game week score at the moment. I'm on 46.
Yeah.
Game week 3 went. So obviously I've had a terrible start, and then hopefully this will turn that around a little bit. But yeah, I think there's value in the defence. I've got Robertson out, and I've got Cancelo out, because Cancelo's sort of going into sort of the midfield area a bit more this season. And I'm thinking that possibly he won't have the opportunity to return as much as he did. I mean, obviously, no City defence is a bit of a worry, but they're all good options. I've got Trippier, Perisic, James, Zinchenko, yeah. Trent. They're all capable of returning and getting goals and assists as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with that. With Kane as well, Haaland's looking like he's going to be rotated. He came in because he's going to get his minutes managed. And Kane, yeah. Now, as a Spurs fan, I mean, the Spurs have options up front now. Richarlison can, in theory, replace Kane for the odd game. Yeah. Do you think that would happen?
Yeah, that probably is going to happen. Richarlison is there, I think, to rotate with Son and Kane more than Kulusevski.
Yeah.
We'll have more of an awareness of when he's going to be rotated after the Champions League draw. Like, if we get an easy Champions League draw or an easier Champions League draw, perhaps Kane will get rested a bit in some of those games. But I just think he's more essential to Spurs than Haaland is to City. I mean, Haaland can easily be rested for a game week and they can put Alvarez in or play Foden as a false nine. Spurs, if they take Kane out, it weakens the team. And if we go a goal down at half time, he's very likely to come on and still play. And obviously, I'm a Spurs fan and I'm biased. Yeah. I like to support players that are in my team. I don't like watching Tottenham and then being upset when Kane scores a goal. So there is some bias in there.
And I think it was obvious this season, we thought Perisic would be the main provider, but I think we saw that in the last game. It's not going to be Son assisting Kane. It's going to be Perisic, isn't it? It's the set pieces. Spurs look really good this season. Do you think that's you've gone for the golden ticket there for Spurs?
Well, Spurs got a new set piece coach in the summer, which I think is already proven to be our best signing. He's won us 4 points already. So yeah, you can definitely see an improvement in our set pieces, and hopefully that'll continue. I think Son will come good. Like, Son is a great player and he's a great fantasy asset. Obviously he's out of form at the moment, but Kane and Son will start linking up again. But Kane does seem to be playing a bit higher. He's in the box a bit more than he was last season, and he does seem at the moment the main goal threat. And hopefully, yeah, Perisic, he will get the ball in from any position. He's always looking to cross the ball in. He's got the experience of playing in the big games. He likes to get into the box. He's played as a winger, as a striker almost in the past, so he can score goals. It's just a case of whether or not he will get rotated, and it's about catching the games he does haul in. But we've obviously seen at the weekend he can do that.
I mean, if I didn't have Mason Mount in my side, who I want to, I was going to say something else. I just want to remove him from my seat. I don't want any harm to come to him. I would look to get one of Perisic or Kane in, possibly even for Haaland. But I'm not sure I'm going to do that. So you've actively got Mason Mount in. You haven't been scarred by the last 3 weeks. How long will you give him to blank?
Well, partly I got him in because my team value is at zero now. Like, I used every penny. And so having Mount meant that I could get Perisic in, essentially. And also, I'm a sucker for a bargain. And when I saw Mason Mount drop to 7.9, I just thought he's good value at that price.
Oh, that's really rubs it in. He cost me 8.
Yes. Well, I'm getting him for that 100k cheaper than you. Yeah. And Chelsea, they've got Leicester this weekend. They're at home to Leicester. Leicester start at 1-1, as above average FPL always say. So there's going to be at least a goal for Chelsea in that game. They're going to want to show signs of improvement after the weekend. The only fear for me is that Mount gets rested as a way of sort of telling him he's not playing well enough, get the edge in or something.
Punishing him on behalf of FPL managers, hopefully.
One loves Mount. Every manager who ever has Mount in their team plays Mount. And he did have opportunities he had a few shots on goal at the weekend. He didn't look great, but he is a good option, as a consistent option. And I don't think the other options, you downgrade to sort of Rodrigo or Pascal Gross, and I'm not fully sold on them yet.
No, okay. Speaking of Brighton, which I always like to do every opportunity, you got Raya in goal, but not Sanchez. And I mean, Sanchez and Ward, I mean, not that you're going to play Ward, but You've gone Ferreira over Sanchez. Why is that?
Yeah, I'm just sexier. Just okay. A sexier pick, isn't it?
Well, a sexier Sanchez guy or just sexier?
Just a
goalkeeper.
Player, a man, and as a player, as a performer, Sanchez is a very dull man. You get two saves a game. Very, very consistent, nice clean sheets, but Brighton just aren't exciting. Raya, I feel he's more likely. Oh, my alarm's going off. Raya, yeah, he's more involved in the game, I think, and he's more of a bonus magnet.
Okay.
But then I'm very much a manager who relies more on vibes than statistics, so that may be incorrect. But yeah, I think he attracts the bonus more. I think he's just a better keeper than Sanchez.
And Jesus is obviously the star, really, of the moment, because he's getting the points in, but also massively well owned. But it got to the point with me this week where he was literally, I mean, you expect with a high owned player, if you don't captain them, they're going to cost you a little bit. But he's literally the biggest threat to my rank, and I own him. So every point he got, when I cheered his yellow card, because it was. Are you frustrated as a new Jesus owner to discover that he's a complete git?
Well, obviously I went against Jesus at the start. I thought that he was inconsistent at City, and he'll probably prove to be that again, but the ownership now is just, I've seen how it can hurt you. I was at 6 million after two game weeks because he hauled in game week 2.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just don't want that going against me every week. He's clearly underpriced. Arsenal have got great fixtures. So I think if you did go against him, you just have to suck that up and bring him in now. And there will, like, I've captained Salah tonight. Hopefully he'll outscore Jesus. You've got 4 points. So you can go against him, but you still want to have him there, I think, to protect, as I have learned.
Okay, so I mean, look at—I mean, there's no weak links because this looks like a freshly wildcarded side. Because I mean, apart from Mason Mount, there are no real weak links there, and I think it's got the structure that most will be looking to get at the moment with those three strikers up front, especially with that. I mean, it was quite good when I said, would you consider getting Mitrovic in for Tony when the fixtures improve? You immediately went yes, as if that was a plan, and I think that is. I think the fixture swing's too good, and it's such a nice, easy move to get some reliable, cheap strikers there. What's the plan for the next 13 game weeks without a wild card, though? Are you?
Well, I don't see any huge fixture swings where we're going to suddenly want to get Liverpool players out, or suddenly feel we need to get the Spurs players out. Like, it seems very sort of consistent across the board for everyone. They have a couple of good games, a couple of bad games. So I'm not too concerned. I just had to get the players in that are performing well. So I had Neto and Bailey doubling up in midfield. I had Ward and Iverson as my goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, no Jesus. And I'd switched Kane and Haaland around. And yeah, it wasn't looking good. So I just had to prepare my mistakes, basically. But yeah, I don't, as the people who've gone template have seen, there's not a lot that you need to change. It seems quite dull at the moment, which I don't enjoy. I've got no City in my team, which is could be an issue. Yeah. My only sort of fear at the moment.
But as you said, rotation might be going. They've got a pointless midweek charity match. Well, not pointless, charity, but pointless from an FPL point of view, because they're all going to come back tired. And I think some of their big stars are going to play.
Yeah, they're going to have to play some of their stars, and they could get injured. They've still got to make the flight over there and back, and there's going to be a bit of that happening. And they've got the squad to rotate, which I never like having City assets, because you're always checking the team sheet when it comes out. And even then, Gundogan could be playing up top, or he could be playing defensive midfield. Like, they're swapped around all over the place. I liked Gundogan. I was going to have him instead of Mount. But I just couldn't trust that he was going to play and continue playing like he has been.
Yeah, definitely. One to monitor, someone we tips on the scout cast last week, Gundogan, because he was doing ever so well just in all of the stats, just amongst all the players. And he's certainly someone I've got in mind. Mind you, I've got everyone in mind who isn't Mason Mount. So that's me this week.
He's going to haul in the next couple of games. and you'll be ruined taking him out.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the way. That's FPL in a nutshell, isn't
that
it?
Yeah.
hey, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Just before we go, is there anything else you wanted to add as well? Anything we haven't covered?
Just get back in the cupboard and carry on with the content. Ooh. Keep it.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. I've got it here. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go to do those chores that I have to do. No, but thanks a lot for joining me. I hope people have had a good insight into the manager, the FPL manager behind those videos.
Secrets behind the 6 million rounds.
The secrets behind the 6 million. All has been revealed. How did he get there? Well, now they know. We've got the Twitter handle up on the screen, FPL Face Off. Do remember to subscribe and like with Fantasy Football Scout. Do have a look at our members area as well. We've got all sorts of useful tools there, lots of stats and lots of great articles as well. So do that. Tom, thanks so much for joining me. We can all get back to watch Liverpool beat Manchester United now. And that will be funny a bit later when Manchester United pull off a Leeds and a shock result is there. So, who knows? Anything can happen. But Tom, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.